Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For as long as I can remember, sports have always been a very big part of my life. Watching them, playing them, talking about them, that's the way my father raised me. Something else that has also been a very big part of my life for as long as I can remember is a robust vigor and enthusiasm for life. Within 5 minutes of being at some church function as a young boy, I'd already be red-faced and full of sweat. The people in our church used to tell my mom that I was all boy. I know that would probably be considered a sexist remark in today's world, but my parents certainly knew what they meant by that. My mom always said that I had a zest and an exuberance for life. My classmates in high school, our senior awards, gave me the most spirited award for my class. And I've always said that the epitaph on my tombstone someday should read, "He lived until he died." And so it stands to reason that when you combine my love for sports with my exuberant spirit, the result is a very robust, full-throttle, give-it-all-you've-got athlete. And when I could no longer be that kind of athlete on the field, I became that kind of fan in the stands. Add to that my pride and my enthusiasm to watch my own children play sports, and you end up with a very enthusiastic, vocal, intense fan. And so it was that as I would watch my six-year-old daughter Micah play soccer and run around the field, I would yell things like, "Hustle! Come on, cut off the ball! Get back on defense! Take it to the goal!" And I began to annoy and exasperate and in some cases infuriate the other parents, to the point where some parents were saying things like, "He's a pastor?" Or directly to my face, "You need just to settle down and be quiet." And I came to realize that even though I wasn't being mean or saying anything unsportsmanlike, and even though my own daughter was the target of my enthusiastic encouragement, yet still others were being put off by me, many of whom were not part of the body of Christ. And so I began to realize in my desire to cheer on my daughter that I had become a negative witness for Jesus. My very presence had become a stumbling block to the gospel. And so I learned just to keep my mouth shut. And I tried not to cheer at all. Though it wasn't what I wanted to do, nor what I was being forced to do, it is what I felt compelled to do for the sake of the gospel. In our epistle reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul wrote, "We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited." You see, if I would have kept cheering for Micah loudly, intensely, and continuously, I would have been, continued to be, a stumbling block to others. No one would have seen Jesus in me. And thus my ministry and my faith would have been in vain. And thus, for the sake of my witness, and for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus' sacrifice, I had to stop doing what was simply part of my personality and even my right to do. That's why Jesus teaches us to turn the other cheek. Why Paul tells us to submit to one another. Why he tells wives to submit to their husbands. He tells individuals to submit to the authorities. All of that humbling and submitting and sacrificing is aimed at us not becoming stumbling blocks to the proclamation and the reception of the gospel. In our psalm this morning from Psalm 51, we have the humble repentance of King David. These words he penned after the prophet Nathan had come to him and shown him his sin. Now, a normal king would have had Nathan put to death for the audacity to stand in judgment on and to condemn the behavior of the king. But as we all know, David was not a normal king. David was a man of God. He was a man who loved the Lord and who worshiped the Lord and who did not want to become a stumbling block to the furtherance of the Lord's kingdom. And so once David had been shown his sin, he then humbly confessed his sin and sought to live a life apart from that sin. As a man after God's own heart, he sought to remove that stumbling block of sin from the witness of his life. So too we have received the call and the commission from God. If we are to become effective and faithful witnesses for God, we must remove the things in our lives that have become stumbling blocks to God's message in us. And so again, like David, that starts with a humble reflection on and a recognition of the sin in our lives. Perhaps our witness to the gospel is hindered because we regularly put other things before his command to keep the Sabbath day holy. And all of the people out at the athletic field see that. Perhaps our life is a stumbling block to the gospel because we spend as much time gossiping about others as does anyone else at the office. And people hear that. Perhaps our actions have diluted the gospel because we ignore those parts of God's word that don't fit very well into our life. You know, things like tithing, abstinence before marriage, honesty, or that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And our friends and our families are all witnesses to it. Like David, we must humbly recognize that sin in our lives and confess that sin in our lives in order to get rid of that sin in our lives. For it is only as we come to God in humble repentance that we can receive the spiritual cleansing that Christ Jesus died and rose to give us. For while Jesus died to forgive the sins of all people, that forgiveness can only be received through faith. A faith which comes to Jesus with a broken and contrite heart and which says to him, Lord, have mercy on me, a poor, sinful being. When we come to God with that humility and with that repentance, God forgives our sins and he creates in us a pure heart and he renews a right spirit within us. He also restores to us the joy of our salvation and he makes us as white as snow. And in doing all that for us, God helps us to remove those things from our lives that have become stumbling blocks to the reception of the gospel by others. So that not only are we saved, but that through us, others might better see Jesus and thus might be saved themselves also. The writer to the Hebrews said that the Word of God is living and active. And Isaiah stated that God's Word does not return to him empty, but accomplishes the purpose for which he sends it. And that's all true. But we can still become stumbling blocks to the effectiveness and the timeliness and the presence of God's Word in people's lives by the way that we live our lives. You know, Jesus once said, things that cause people to sin are sure to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. May that person never be us. May we never be those stumbling blocks to the proclamation and the reception of the gospel. And to that end, may we each day continue to recognize our sin, confess our sin, that we might then also be cleansed and forgiven of our sin through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.